We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Malik Hall, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Ten seconds to go. McCarr fittingly battling for the puck. The corner. 5 seconds to go. Up it comes to the line. Colorado has won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, we got a new cup champion. We also got a new head coach of the Blackhawks. Luke Richardson is the new head coach, and we are delighted to welcome in Eddie Olczyk to talk about it. Eddie, of course, great friend of the program, does a fantastic job in all endeavors, including the horses. Thank you, Eddie. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, Molly, David, nice to be with you guys. Thanks for having me. And yeah, we just ended the hockey season a couple of nights ago, and I guess probably in about 11 weeks, the Blackhawks will open up training camp with a new head coach, and exciting for Luke Richardson and his wife Stephanie, and he will fit in very nicely in our great city. I think people will see him and see his demeanor and hear his voice, Molly. I think that people will think he's a Chicago guy. So I'd be obviously being a Chicago guy, I'd be very proud of that, and he'll fit in very well considering, you know, the state of the franchise and the rebuild that is going on under Kyle Davidson. And, it should be real exciting to see how Lukey does.
So they will introduce Luke Richardson tomorrow, Eddie. They made the announcement official yesterday. When they do, we'll be able to see and hear what he has to say. But you are familiar with him from a very different perspective. Fill in the gaps. He was a rookie. You were teammates. It was Toronto. How did that go?
Yeah. Well, I think right off the bat, I think we connected very well. Obviously, being an older guy and hadn't been in the league a few years, and having just started a family and taking the young guys under your wing and bringing them over to the house, and it just kind of trying to make them feel comfortable, right? Anybody that's new on a job or a rookie in professional sports, is you want to just make sure that they're comfortable and the older guys got your back. And I think the one thing that I have always respected about Luke, whether it was a player for, a kid, I'm 1,000 years in the National Hockey League or now coaching, is that he always knew what his role was. And I say it on the broadcast all the time, is role players, and everybody has a role, but role players have to do two things. You got to be able to accept, and you got to be able to execute. And I think that's where Luke is really kind of taken his craft as far as the coaching aspect. And again, talking to players that have played for him, not only at the NHL level as an assistant, and then, he got put into a really tough spot a couple of years ago. I'll get into that in a second, if I can, as far as getting his opportunity to be a head coach in the National Hockey League for a period of time. But also as an assistant, a guy that played defense in the NHL for a long, long time, be able to really teach. And I think that's something that, quite frankly, has been lacking recently for a lot of the young players here with the Blackhawks. And I think that Luke, which whatever direction he goes as far as staff and having those people around him, is that he will be able to delegate and allow those people to do it. But I think that moving forward, Blackhawk defensemen, especially the young ones, the impressionable ones, will get a great lesson or 10 from Luke Richardson. But as far as a teammate, he always had your back. If you needed to drop the gloves, he would do that. If you needed a big hit, he would do that. If you needed to kill a penalty or block a shot, he would do that. So I think long-winded, David, the ultimate teammate and worked his way and found his way through the NHL. I think parts of 21 seasons he played in the NHL, and that's a hell of a run for a guy that, was limited offensively. There's no doubt about it, but he knew what he had to do to survive. And I think that's certainly important in what Kyle and his staff is trying to change from the hockey operations department, at least, is, you know, being able to bring somebody in there that can, you know, help for not only look at for 2 weeks from now or 4 months from now, but look at most importantly in the big picture is to turn the ship around.
And you know, whenever we talk about coaches, we try to figure out if this guy's going to be a player's coach. Is he going to be a tough guy? Is he going to, you know, there are going to be a lot of bag skates. What do you expect from him? And you said there's a backstory you wanted to tell. Please share it with us.
Yeah, I mean, look at I think it's going to be a combination. I do. I mean, he is soft spoken, but I've seen him go sideways. Not only playing with him, but then playing against him. So I think that's a good thing. I think that's good to keep your players. You know, players will know where they stand. I really believe that. And you know, look at he's going to have an incredible leadership group inside that room with Kaner, with Johnny, to be able to come into the situation. And look at Luke is. I mean, he knows the history here. He knows what has transpired here. So I think there's going to be times where, you know what, he's going to be able to give a big bear hug. And he gives pretty good bear hugs, by the way. I've been on the receiving end of those, both on and off the ice. And then also, too, is like, look at, like, you know, like this can't happen. It's like, look at, next time this happens, you know, there's going to be consequences. And I think that's how his mentality is. And again, talking to players that have played for him and then played for as an assistant in the NHL and then played for him in the minors. And I did want to touch on it. I'd be remiss if I didn't go back to what I was saying, if I could, guys, is that like he got put into a situation 2 Stanley Cups ago. So the recent one, obviously Tampa in Colorado, but the one before that, where it was Tampa and Montreal, Luke Richardson was an assistant coach with the Montreal Canadiens. And in the conference finals, and I believe it was in game 3, the head coach, Don Ducharme of the Montreal Canadiens, went down. And I believe it was COVID-related, but, you know, don't quote me on that. But he couldn't coach. So they gave the opportunity to Luke. And in game 3 against Vegas, and Vegas was an overwhelming favorite in that series, overwhelming to beat the Montreal Canadiens, who happened to be on a hell of a run. Luke Richardson was able to guide the Montreal Canadiens over a huge upset against the Vegas Golden Knights, and then went on and he coached the first couple of games, I believe, of the Stanley Cup Final, and then Dom Ducharme came back after his illness, and that it's tough enough to be a coach in the National Hockey League or a coach in any professional sport, but. You know, when you get put into that spot, not some people may sit there, look, you know, he's got nothing to lose. The expectations aren't what they are. The head coach isn't in there. But he went in there and he guided a team that had one of the biggest upsets, in my opinion, that we've seen in the NHL in a long, long time in that conference final. And that allowed the Montreal Canadiens to get into the Stanley Cup final. Now, obviously, they ended up losing to Tampa. But I think that, you know, those 6 games, like if you said those 6 games in that situation, I would say that's probably almost a year and a half of experience in the NHL regular season, considering the stakes that were on the table. So a little interesting nugget there with Luke getting put into that spot and helping his team get to the Stanley Cup final in some difficult situations.
Well, Eddie, I want to follow up on that a little bit because I don't know the answer to this question. When Montreal was looking for a head coach, he would have been an ideal candidate. Is it true the assumption that maybe because they were looking for someone who spoke French that he wasn't as qualified as maybe because of that? And is that, did that prevent him from being the head coach of the Canadiens?
That's a very, very sensitive area, obviously, north of the border and in the province of Quebec and in the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, certainly that has seemed to be the trend and the prerequisite of getting high consideration. There is no doubt. I had a handful of teams contact me over the course of the last couple of years about Luke. And I don't think that there's any doubt that played into it. So David, I would not look at that as a a negative on anybody that doesn't have, French language is one of their, I got enough problem with English, you know what I mean? I got the racetrack jargon, but other than that, I mean, for Luke, look at it, he's a quick learner, and I'm sure he probably could have done it, but you know, those guys up there, those coaches and people involved there, they do the press conferences in English and then they do it in French. And so look at it, was that a part of it? I would say 100% that certainly plays into the decision that happens at that particular high level of visibility in a place like Montreal.
There's so much going on in the offseason, right? We got free agency coming up. The draft is coming up. Do we know what the Blackhawks are going to look like? Do we know what team he's actually going to be coaching?
Well, that's a good question. I think get some more clarity here, and I think you hit it on the head there, Molly, just with all of those really important mile marker dates moving forward here. And this is a rebuild, right? Kyle has said that, numerous times with his staff and understanding exactly where the Hawks have been, where they are and where they are trying to get to. And, you know, you're right. You do have the draft. The Hawks don't have a first round. They lost their first round pick this year from the Seth Jones acquisition, last summer. You have some numbers coming, later in the draft. And look at it, you have to be able to draft very well to have success. And I think you guys would agree with that. That just goes without saying in any sport, regardless. You got to get some luck too, right? Like got to be able to fall into a player or fall into a spot and be able to bring in some different makers. And then look, when it comes to free agency and trades and all that kind of stuff, I don't think that there's any doubt that, the situation that the team is in is that anything is on the table. And I think that, I'm sure Kyle will be very busy like all the other general managers will be. But as far as the team and the personnel or whatever, I still think, though, Molly, there's just a lot. There's too much time to really kind of, see what happens here. And sometimes just to give, Blackhawk fans a heads up here is at the draft and having sat at a draft table numerous times with the Pittsburgh Penguins when I was coaching there a handful of years ago, is that a lot of the groundwork is laid at the draft. Everybody's in one city, conversations are had, and that, kind of leads up to free agency, which is a short period of time after. And the NHL schedule, and that's all I'll speak to, has been obviously off kilter here the last couple of years. And just because of the pandemic and the scheduling and the Olympics, and then the Olympics didn't happen. And, the league is starting to get back to the season ending in, the first week of June moving forward instead of, the last week of June. And then the draft will be a little bit early. So things will get back on track here. But something to keep an eye on is that, a lot of dealings and conversations happened at the draft. It's not only about the amateur drafts and moving forward about the future, but it is also about just laying the groundwork and planting a seed here or there and saying, hey, I hear this and, we'd be interested here. And like I said, I've seen that firsthand, and it's pretty interesting when it does come to fruition, because you sit there and it's like, wow, we first initially started that conversation in the middle of June, and all of a sudden it's November 4th. And it's like, hey, we got a chance to make that trade. I'm like, wow, that thing took 6 months, So I think those are things Blackhawk fans, can kind of look at and you hear rumors and you see stuff, so something to keep an eye on here moving forward.
Eddie, I don't think there's anything to take away from the Stanley Cup final, because the Avalanche are so much different than the Blackhawks. The gap is wide. But I do look at this, and this may be unfair, but to me it's a little bit obvious. It's there. Cale Makar is the best player in the best team. He was taken fourth overall in the 2017 draft. 5 years later, he's hoisting the cup. Kirby Dach was taken third overall in the 2019 draft. I don't think he's on that sort of path. I don't think he's on that sort of track. Certainly the Blackhawks aren't. How big of a step can Kirby Dach, does he need to take this year?
Well, this is huge. First, he's got to stay healthy, right, David? That is going to be an important part for Kirby. And And again, understanding, knowing and who, knowing what type of player that you can be, not necessarily the type of player you want to be or the type of player that you think you are or the type of player that you think you can be. You have to understand. And I think that as players get in and play a couple of years, and Kirby has certainly done that. Now, look, in fairness to him, was he rushed in? My opinion, yes. So that's already done. He's already been here. You can't change that. And I think certainly in conversations that I've had with Kyle over a period of time, certainly the understanding of, you got to let your guys grow, right? I think bringing back a guy like Normie McIver it was a no-brainer because of his relationship with Kyle over the years. But Normie is as good as a hockey guy there is in the National Hockey League. And I know in my conversations with him, I played with Normie, his understanding is, look at especially – young guys is that, it's better for them to have success and to stay in juniors or to play in the minors for a period of time. But again, decisions have been made. But getting back to Kirby, it's just I believe, David, is the understanding of what type of player is he. And then he has to figure that out. Last year, at times, we saw him on the wing. The Blackhawks put him on the wing, and he got a little bit of a sniff, right? It's a different game. He's only playing 140 feet. He's not playing the 200-foot game. His faceoffs need to improve, continue to improve. I saw some improvement in his faceoffs. And again, it's not the numbers, David. When I'm looking at I think a lot of people get caught up in the numbers and the analytics. And that's certainly a part of. But I think when I look at the technique, I played center in the National Hockey League for a long, long time. So I think I know what the hell I am looking at. And I think I saw some improvement from Kirby Dach. Like, that's an area where, there needs to be improvement if he is indeed at the center ice position. So, I think this is absolutely a huge year for Kirby, A, to stay healthy, and to be, and B, to, I think most importantly to himself, is to figure out, what type of player he is going to be. We have something in common, right? We were both third overall picks, so I certainly know. Now, the pressure that I had playing in my hometown was, obviously, I put a lot more pressure on myself because I grew up as a Blackhawk fan. I will die a Blackhawk. It's a different type of pressure. But I think for him, it's just having that confidence and going out there and saying, okay, look, this is what I think I am. Look, if he ends up being a 20, 35 guy, okay, well, that's what he is. You could say, look, I want to be a 40, 65 guy. Well, then you got to go do it, and you got to show signs that you're able to do that. Or maybe you just become a role player that becomes really good. He killed penalties very well. I was pleasantly surprised at the way that he killed penalties. So I think there's still a lot there, but I think the offensive side is where he really has to take that next step. I know he's going to get an opportunity. Now he's just got to take advantage of that.
Eddie, great stuff. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Eddie.
Okay, guys. Hey, have a great holiday. Stay safe, and look forward to talking to you guys soon. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That is Eddie Olczyk. He is Chicago as they come. What a great
He's the best.
Yep. Love Eddie. And we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk to Uncle Terry. We'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.